Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org.
Thank you, Joe. Was that Pastor Steve? Pastor Steve, get up for Pastor Steve who walked out this television. Because without it, we can't see the scriptures. We are in the book of 1 John this evening. If you guys brought your Bibles, please open up to the book of 1 John. If you're online and you're joining us online, maybe open up another tab and open up to the book of 1 John. If you are strictly on a device, we're going to be in chapter 2. And I'm very excited for tonight. And in case any of you follow us online and you follow us like on Instagram or Facebook and you're like, Pastor Jim looks a little bit different. I'm not Pastor Jim. My name's Tom. And basically, Pastor Jim was supposed to speak tonight, and then something happened on the grapevine and prevented him from getting here tonight. And he's safe. Don't worry, everything's totally fine. And basically, we'll see. He might get him out here next Wednesday, or we'll see how this all works out. But we do like to hear from him, so he'll join us eventually. But God told me I was going to be speaking tonight, and it was one of those moments where, I mean, if you've walked with God for any length of time, it sounded so nonchalant, like so normal, so familiar that maybe that was just you. And then I get the call like, hey, Pastor Jim's not gonna be able to make it tonight. And I was like, oh Lord, you talked to me. You thank you for still being patient with me and putting up with me. And then there were some things that kind of happened earlier today that you get to see all of what God was doing kind of line up, and being able to prepare and being able to seek God on what we're gonna talk about. And it's just, God is good. So if you think that you are here because you could afford gas, or you got off of your work early, or got out of class early, or there was hardly any homework, or you're joining us online because you got off work early and you're able to join us, none of this is an accident. Every single person was supposed to be here. Every single person is supposed to be listening to this. Even if whoever you are that's listening to this, you know, 2 years down the road, you're listening to this, you're here, God wanted you here for a reason. And I'm just so blessed. Like, this opportunity really is incredible. Like, you guys, we are living the Bible. I know that we have Revelation coming to the end and it says amen. And we kind of think that just says like the end. But the truth is this is just a continuation of what Jesus did in setting us free. When he said it is finished, he wasn't meaning that the Bible and the miracles and the relationship with God was finished. He was saying that the separation between man and God was finished. But you and I are the continuation. And so as these songs were going on, you know, as we're worshiping and the song Firm Foundation is being sung, and even like this last song, how God's love never fails. My prayer is that you would know that it never fails. Even if you've done your best to set a lot of obstacles in front of him and you, it never fails. That love is gonna push right through whatever it is that you've put in front of him. And so tonight is something special. It's not just another Wednesday night. It's not just another time of listening to a sermon, but we are gonna be in the book of 1 John chapter 2. Pastor Al left us off. He ended with verse 2 last week. And now we are going to be jumping right into verse 3. Before we get into verse 3, I know the tech team is just chomping at the bit. We're doing a verse-by-verse Bible study. And Pastor Al even did it so detailed. He got through two verses last Wednesday, and he was more or less dissecting the words-by-words Bible study. Man, this is going to be twofold for us. It's going to be a blessing for us tonight. You know, just being here, whenever it is that you're listening to this in the future, but it's also gonna be a blessing for us because this is kind of how we should do Bible studies. Bible studies can be done in, you know, a number of different ways. You know, I've done, you know, book studies and gone through a specific book or going verse by verse, but this is going to be a blessing for us because as you then continue to study scripture, this could be a little glimpse for you as to what this kind of studying could look like. I'm using this big hunk of meat right here. This is a study Bible. If you don't have one of these, it's totally okay. You're not going to get to heaven and God's like, I needed you to have a study Bible and then send you right to wherever you need to go. But it is, this is just something that's beneficial. I'm going to bring up some really studious words tonight that are going to help us in understanding these verses that we're going to read because I really didn't care for English class growing up. Grammar was so boring to me. But the English language is very hard to explain to people. We've got, I mean, you guys, like remember, old, little kids, young people, the word copacetic used to mean cool. Cool used to refer to a temperature. The English language is very difficult to understand because you could say that something is cool, something is copacetic, and something is lit, and it all means the same thing. Older people, there's an expression called, that they use. It's called fire. When something is fire, not on fire, but that's a word. And then I learned about 2 weeks ago that potentially the terminology is now gas. That's gas. That's what I'm saying. I don't know. Like you start hearing, that is propane, man. Like that is... Like this, it's just getting out of hand. The English language is very difficult to understand. But as we get into the scriptures tonight, I'm gonna be mentioning some words that might be just a little too much. Feel free, you know, we've got those chairs that are in front of you. Sorry, front row, you go-getters. But the chairs in front of you, there are little cards for you to use and pencils in there for you to use if you would like to take notes. Feel free to take your phones out, open up your note app, and begin to write these things down because we are only covering four verses tonight. And so we're going to go slow with these. But with that being said, Pastor Gennaro already prayed for us, and we're going to jump right into this. Starting in verse 3, it says, "And by this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments." We're gonna stay right there for right now. There's an expression that you've heard Pastor Ron use before. When you see a therefore, you gotta find out what it's there for. So in reading this verse, it says, "And by this," well, hold up, what is this? Is it the previous verse that was just mentioned? Or is it something that's coming up? Is he getting ready to give us an example? "And by this we know that we have come to know him, if we keep his commandments." There is so much here. Because if you, on the screens here, H is capitalized. Whenever H is capitalized in scripture, if it's not at the beginning of a sentence, that's usually referring to God or Jesus. Old Testament, it'll usually mean God. New Testament, it's Jesus. Well, how do we know this? Well, in previous verses, it talks about the Father. Whenever John is talking about God, he'll say God or he'll say Lord or he will say Father. So then this capital H, him, is coming off the tail end verses of verse 1 where it's talking about Jesus Christ being the advocate. So by this, we know that we have come to know him, Jesus, if we keep his, Jesus, commandments. Well, let's look at this word know. K-N-O-W. It is a present indicative word. And of course, we all know what that means. It's a present indicative word, which is basically saying, if I can take this word for both of the words know, it's meaning that we are on our way to knowing Jesus if we keep his commandments. We are on our way to knowing Jesus if we keep his commandments. Well, now we start to break it down a little bit And I grew up Catholic, memorizing the Ten Commandments. So are we saying now that Jesus has separate commandments from God? Because we know that in the Old Testament, Moses is given these Ten Commandments. And if you're really studious in Scripture, you will know that God gave technically the Israelite people 613 commandments. So then we read this. Now we're going, now, oh wait, is all of that done away with? And now we're just supposed to go to the commandments that Jesus said? Because if you look at it, what kind of commandments did Jesus give? Well, it says that he told us that we are supposed to forgive when we pray. We're supposed to let our light shine. We're supposed to pray in secret. We're supposed to be born again. We're supposed to turn the other cheek. We're supposed to store up treasures in heaven. We're supposed to remain in Jesus. We're supposed to love our enemies. And the list goes on. I just needed to abbreviate for the time that we have. The list goes on. So then, Tom, you're telling me that the Ten Commandments that I have on a poster in my room, those are now null and void? We're not supposed to worry about those? That's not what Scripture's saying. Jesus is the fulfillment. He fulfilled the Scriptures and the law. Jesus is coming in to say, yes, I agree with this. This is all good. So what are the Ten Commandments? If we're supposed to keep these things, Jesus' commandments, the Ten Commandments, 613, I'm not gonna touch that tonight because that gets very specific and I think it could be misunderstood, but for the sake of tonight and keeping it real simple for this Bible study, we're talking about the Ten Commandments, which of course we all have memorized. First one, I'm gonna abbreviate these because I'm not saying shall tonight. You shall not, you shall, I'm not saying it. But first one is that we are supposed to not have any other gods outside of Jehovah. Outside of Elohim, outside of Yahweh. We're not supposed to have false idols. We're not supposed to put our hope in anything else. We're not supposed to take the Lord's name in vain, which is basically to say, don't use it as like a negative connotation. We're supposed to keep the Sabbath day holy, to do and celebrate the Sabbath day. We're supposed to honor your father and your mother. We're not supposed to murder. We're not supposed to commit adultery. We're not supposed to steal. We're not supposed to lie. And we are not supposed to, this one's gonna sting a little bit, and I apologize, 2022, but we are not supposed to want other people's stuff. Doesn't that hurt? You're not supposed to want other people's stuff. Then what are we supposed to want? Him. We're supposed to want him. We're not supposed to look at somebody's materialistic things, and the word is covet. I'm not supposed to covet those. And I look at these, and these are very interesting because in some of these commandments, God needs to explain them. There's some that need to be defined for us for some reason. And the ones that are obvious that you don't need to explain are obvious, and that's why God doesn't explain them. There are certain promises and certain things that are kept. You know, we talk about the sow and reap law in Scripture. Pastors mentioned it. It's a truthful thing. You know, God tells Abraham, whoever blesses you, I will bless. Whoever curses you, I will curse. We get to see a glimpse there that if you do good, then good will come to you. If you do bad, then bad will come to you. Bible also tells us that, you know, all of your deepest, darkest secrets, those things you've tried to hide, everything comes to light eventually. And so we see here that there are technically six commandments that come with an explanation. The first one is the first one. I am the Lord your God, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. We're not supposed to have any other God before him. The second one is the second one. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them. You shall not serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands to those who love me and keep my commandments. This might not apply to you. You probably don't have like a dolphin in your room that you worship. But there's a very interesting book called The Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis. And in one of the chapters, it talks about how, so it's this demon speaking to another demon. This is not like fact. It's this guy kind of, you know, imagining what it would be like to have this conversation go on in the spirit. And he's saying, hey, you're patient, meaning one of us, you're patient. When they go to pray, try to get them to focus on a statue that they've seen. So that way they will be praying to the statue rather than their creator. In the book, it calls him the enemy. I've been guilty of it. Growing up little, I had like little crucifixes over my doors and I knew where Saint so-and-so was, or, you know, this holding a lamb with a little peace sign, Jesus. And so I'd be praying to that. And it's interesting that God needs to explain to us, hey, I don't want you thinking of a false image. I don't want you to be, it's almost why he presents himself so vague. I want you to put your attention to heaven. I want you to put your attention to what is true. He needs to explain this to us. The third one is the third one. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. God's name is not something that we should just throw around lightly. I'm just telling you what Scripture says. Don't write me, please. The fourth one is the fourth one. This one is nearly the longest one. It's the Sabbath day. Keep it holy. You know what it doesn't say? Show up at 9 a.m. and when you're done, go home and do chores. The Sabbath day is meant to be from sundown on that Saturday or whatever day you choose to celebrate to sundown on that following day. An entire 24-hour period where you are in the presence of God, listening to worship music, go to church, have a great time. If you start getting mad at your spouse, start getting mad at your kids, start getting mad at whatever, you are supposed to take authority over that, calm yourself down. You're supposed to have good food. You're supposed to have good times with friends. You're supposed to play board games with your entire family. You're supposed to have and keep holy this Sabbath day. I'm not judging nobody. I'm just saying, Jesus said, hey, do you want to know if you are in me? Do you want to know if you truly believe in me? Then you got to keep my commandments. Scripture also tells us that the whole honor your father and mother commandment, that one is the only one with a blessing. That your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Now I know that one's hard. But thank goodness we've got the Holy Spirit living inside of us to guide us and lead us on what it is we're supposed to do. You know the ones that don't need to be explained to us? You shall not murder, commit adultery, steal, or lie. Because those are easy for us to understand. Yeah, it's a good idea, don't kill. That's a good one, pretty easy. I understand the concept. Don't lie, pretty easy. I understand the concept. Don't steal, sometimes that's harder. But we understand the concept, because if someone did it to us, that would be unfortunate. I like my stuff. These things are all easy for us to understand, but God goes, there's a reason why I'm telling you that you should honor me, that you should only follow me. Don't let anything get in between you and me. So why are these commandments so important? Well, it says they'll be important. You will know Jesus if you keep them. Jesus's commandments, if you look at what he was saying, Jesus was really simplifying these 10 commandments. We're supposed to honor God. We're supposed to spend our time with God. So then when he says, go to your quiet place, go in secret and talk to God, he's really just explaining and giving more details to commandments 1 and 2. We're not supposed to have any other gods than God. We're not supposed to go to anybody else for our security and our safety. So Jesus really is just reiterating in a different way. Like if God gave the King James version of the scriptures, Jesus came and gave the Message version of the translation of the scriptures. Kind of a Bible thing. If you don't know, that there are different translations of the Bible. Go outside or get on the internet, one of the two. But the Message version of the Bible kind of dumbs it down for us, kind of takes these verses and explains it to us in a way that we can better understand. But this word keep in verse 3 I want to look at. If you can put that back up, tech team. If we keep his commandments, this word is in this lexicon number 5083. And this word really means to obey, to observe, to fulfill a duty, or to perform watchfully. This isn't like a back of the mind thing. We're not supposed to take the commandments of Jesus, the commandments of God, and just be like, I'm gonna look at those when my life's falling apart. I'm gonna go back to those. Actually, you know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna cherry pick them. You know what I do like? I like the don't kill, don't steal. Those ones are kind of easy. But this whole idea, like the whole Sabbath day, that's a bit much. I need to hustle. I need to get the money. I need to make opportunities. I've let this thing go too far. I've let this thing, you know, my house is dirty. My dishwasher is still full. Like we tend to take certain things and we nitpick what we want to fit how we want to see God. And we can't do that. You want to know Jesus? John's saying it's real simple, keep his commandments. Now, I do want to look at this in a little bit more detail because then in verse 4, John explains this a little bit. He says, the one who says, I have come to know, capital H, him, Jesus, and does not keep his commandments, they're a liar and the truth is not in him. And all the people of 2022 said, that hurts. You can't call me a liar just because I'm not doing what God told me to do, but I still get to rep Christianity on my profile. Well, how do you know that I'm not doing my best? God knows my heart. Well, he does know your heart. And he knows you're a liar. And it's just, so then Tom, what are we supposed to do? Well, we're supposed to know him or shut up. Right? Like you can't walk around. We've been around those people that give God a bad taste, but I'm in church. And you know what's funny? Church is so like funny because like there's Christianese. If you've ever heard of Christianese, a good example of Christianese is when you got a dude calling another dude a brother in Christ. That's Christianese. Or if you got Christianese people that are saying like you are their church friend. Oh, I hate that one the most. Like, but homie, I thought he was your friend. Well, no, I put you in a category. You're my church friend. But there's this Christianese, you know, like God knows my heart. He does. He knows that it's wicked. He knows that it's sick. God knows. That's scriptural. Read the book of Jeremiah. And so we see these things and we read that, man, I'm doing my best. And I'm sure that you think that you are doing your best. But when lined up with God's commandments, are you making conscious efforts to go after what God has commanded? Because there's a word that's gonna be, maybe you've heard this, and I'm pretty sure I wrote it down right. But if you've ever heard the expression, listen to the heart of the law and not the letter of the law. The original commandments were meant to be impossible. They were meant to always drive us to needing somebody to save us because they were incredibly difficult, especially you get to the 613 that we're supposed to walk a certain distance on a certain day. We're supposed to pray a certain way. You're supposed to sacrifice this for that and sacrifice this for this. And it became this thing and it almost kind of God set up these laws because the people were demanding, we want to be in like controlled. We want you to tell us, how do we get perfect? And God goes, this, and then it became nearly impossible. And God goes, yeah, that's kind of the point. You're human beings. You're never gonna be perfect. That's why he has to lay these laws out for us. The hardest one potentially could be don't want anybody's stuff. Every single one of us might be broken on that one. And so we look at this and God is saying, look at the heart behind what I'm saying. because this still gets difficult. To have a successful job or to have toddlers, when I was learning and studying about how to truly celebrate the Sabbath day, I'm like, these people did not have toddlers. There's no way that you can celebrate the Sabbath peacefully if you got a 5-year-old mixed with a 2-year-old. They were playing in the hamper before I left today. My son walked out with it over him and then set it down to mess around. My daughter saw, hey, my brother really likes that, but he walked away for a second. I'm gonna go jump inside of it, and now it's mine. And so I hear them screaming in the background, and I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. Scarlett, let Jeremiah inside the hamper. She's like, but daddy, I was here first. I was like, you ain't wrong, but how dare you? There's no way, like it's physically impossible. But it's the heart. When your blood starts to boil, start to get mad, your lungs start to fill with all the air that you can scream at that person. And then God goes, hey, remember? Sabbath. And you're like, okay. Don't do that, right? And it's gonna take a little bit of effort. You guys have heard how coming to church, it's not easy to come to church, especially after COVID, especially after gas prices. It gets hard, but just little by little. And we make these efforts and we do what it is that we can do so that that way we are getting closer to God. Because what happens here is it says, if you claim to be on your way, but there is no evidence whatsoever, like a little bit of evidence, a little, Tom, I tithe though, I give to God. Yeah, that's great, that's awesome. But what do you do after you tithe? Is that a public display? Is that for the people around you in church? Is that a tax write-off for you? Are you doing it so that you can benefit from it selfishly? Because what does your prayer life look like? There's a whole lot more in scripture about your prayer time than there is anything else. There's a whole lot more about getting alone with God and talking to God. It's how the powerful men and women of the Bible got to that position where we're reading about them thousands of years later, is because they knew who God was. They spent time with God. And I want us to see this because it says here that this word keep, he says, I have come to know him, and, or the one who says, I have come to know him and does not keep his commandments. That's that same word talking about how we are supposed to be people who are observing and we are doing. And to be called a liar is something that is very uncomfortable, but I want to look at the word truth. Because I don't know if you saw, but they changed the definition of the word recession. They're changing the name of men, or changing the meaning of men and women. I don't know if you've watched the news recently, gotten on Twitter recently, went outside recently. They're slowly starting to tear away what truth means. They're slowly starting to tear away any sort of leg for anyone to stand on. And so this idea that the truth is not in him, well, people will start to push on you, believer in Jesus Christ. Well, that's your truth. Truth is not subjective. Truth does not apply to one person and not to another person. Ladies and gentlemen, it is not cold in Bakersfield, California right now. I don't care if you change the definition of the word cold. 100 degrees is hot. But if you got people saying, I think it's cold. Your truth is your truth and my truth is my truth. That's not how it works. This word truth in this usage means the love of truth, both in words and in conduct. The love of truth. I look around and I see the Church of Jesus Christ waiting for leaders to stand up. That's you, though. Every single one of us is to carry the gospel when we leave here. And that's cool that you clapped. Love ya. But it's hard when we get out there. It is, man. I was in Albertsons today on the phone with somebody talking about Jesus, kinda found an empty aisle. You know, like when people would be like talking like, yeah, and I know. And then there was Jesus. And what Jesus did is he, it's hard when you go out there. But if we are making conscious efforts, like John is saying, he's like, hey, you wanna know Jesus? Yeah, I can't figure it out. Like when I go to church, yeah, sure, I show up late because, you know, I kind of lost track of time and I put more attention to how I looked than I did bringing my own Bible or bringing a notebook or trying to raise my hands during worship. Yeah, sure, I was late, but at least I got there. Okay, that is great. What did you do with the information when you left? Did you sit and think about it? Did you take it and go, okay, so what part of this applies to my life? What is it that God wanted to say to me in this time? How am I going to use it tomorrow? How am I going to use it tonight? Because I tell you, the truth is that what God does is he speaks to us in these quiet, these small voices because he's near to us. And he wants us to, hey, I need to bring you in a little bit closer. Just a little bit, not a lot of bit, a little bit. I need you just to get to understand me just a little bit more. And that's why when John's writing, he goes, I know who I'm talking about. I spent years with him. I was talking with somebody the other day and talking about how, you know, in the Bible, we see, you know, that Jesus and his disciples went from one city to the other city. And in this city, this happened and this happened and this happened. But we never hear about the time frame for the most part that happened between one city to the other city. It was in those moments that the disciples got to come near to Jesus and say, hey, you said something back there. What did you mean by that? Jesus, you did this thing and you showed love to this person. Scripturally, Torah tells us that we're really not supposed to deal with them. Why did you? And they were wrestling with real subjects and real things that were happening to where John goes, listen, I lived this. And I know that the way that I got to Jesus was by doing the things that he told me to do. I took my daughter to school, drop her off for the first time. And that look of like, Dad, am I good? And I go, yes, you're good. You got this. You're a Hollenbeck, dude. You got this. And she looks at me and she's like, okay, I got this. We have a saying. I'll be driving in the car. Scarlett, what are we gonna do today? She goes, we're gonna love God, we're gonna enjoy life, and we're gonna love people. I was like, that's right. And so then today, her mom's taking her to school, and I'm getting some stuff done. I looked at her, I said, hey, what are we gonna do today? She goes, we're gonna love God, enjoy life, and love people. And so then I'm getting ready to leave tonight. And my wife's praying for me, my son's praying for me. He doesn't say any words. But it's just his demeanor. So we're all holding hands. And then he takes his arm and he shoves it around my neck and pulls me into his chest. And my daughter's praying. And she's praying that I'd be happy while I sing. And that I'd be happy while I talk. And then she goes, God, and I pray that he would love God, enjoy life, and he would love people. Thank you for clapping at my parenting. It's just because we're trying. Like it's a conscious effort. The story I didn't tell you is when I'm on my way to school and I'm like, all right, Scarlett, what are we gonna do today? And she goes, oh, Dad, I'm tired. So you were just talking to me about Halloween Town and you're gonna sit there and start bringing this up to me. Like we're trying to shape you and mold you, but it's this relentless attempt at getting to know God more in every relationship that you have, in every subject that you go into, that you would look at this and not complain about your job or not complain about your spouse, not complain about your circumstances, but that when it really comes down to it, that we would make a conscious effort to put God first. That we would have reminders in our phone that we would set so that we know that at this time we are going to pray and we're going to talk to God in this moment. If you know that you have a lunch hour that is only an hour or 30 minutes because Susie Q takes forever to order in line and you're always caught behind her and you're like, God, I help me to pray for that person or to love that person. Or you'd be so detailed and so madly in love with God that you would know what he has to say about you, but you know that you're going to church and you go, God, I don't know who's going to sit next to me tonight, but I pray that you would give me a word for them so that I could either write it down on a note, set it right there on their seat, or in the middle of worship, I would get there early enough to sit there, talk to them and say, hey, God gave me a word for you because I knew that you were going to sit here. And this is a little bit nerve wracking and I'm so sorry, but I want to tell you that God has a word for you. What would our church look like if we were real about our relationship with God? We weren't perfect, obviously. That's why he gave us 10. Maybe we're supposed to hit 5 a day, but that we would be people who would truly live this out. You know what we would look like? Jesus. You'll see in the next couple of verses, this is those people that live out these commandments, they look like Jesus. People will be able to tell, oh, you know Jesus. You're like, how could you tell? I just saw your kid drop all those Cheerios on the floor and you didn't get mad. They were screaming in the middle of Target and you didn't beat them to death. You must have something different. And this is what our lives are supposed to look like. If I can tell you the honest truth, I think the devil's doing a really good job at distracting us. I think he's doing a really good job at making us hate our jobs so that when we come home, we have some sort of substance that keeps us away from spending our time with God. You might think like, oh, I don't drink. Do you play video games a lot? I don't play video games. Do you watch your sports team a lot? I don't do that. I get home and I make dinner and I clean the house and I do the yard work. Okay, that's cool. How much time do you spend with your kids? There's always something to work on. Always. And Jesus knows that. Like God knows. And that's why he says, please listen to the entirety of what I'm saying. It's not a checklist. But we're supposed to come before God and just say, Lord, guide me today. Who needs me today? It might be you. God might be just telling you, hey, I just want to remind you that I love you so much. I love you so much. I just need you to know that before you go throughout your day. Church, I just want to encourage you online, in person. There is nothing like getting the real deal and talking with God. There's nothing like it. And it's going to take a lot, but it's going to be so worth it. Can I pray for us and then we'll end tonight? Is that okay? I guess I got the microphone, so. Father, I just, I pray over every person listening right now, and I pray for those both here and not here. And God, I pray for myself included. Jesus, help us. Your word told us earlier in this chapter that Jesus is the advocate, the one that stands before the Father and just says, God, look at what they're doing. Look at the moments where they're praying. Look at the moments where they are trying to stop cussing or stop drinking or they're trying to stop being so negative. God, look at that you are the one that they're focused on. God, look. I thank you, God, that Jesus would be our Savior. I thank you, God, that he would be the one that set the example for us. I thank you, God, that you listen to our prayers. I thank you, God, for our Holy Spirit sent inside of us to unify us because we do know that the devil's trying to divide. But now that we see that, Lord, give us the tools that we need so that we can say the sentences that we need to say to our spouse, that we can say the sentences that we need to say to our kids, so that we can say the things that need to be said. Give us the courage to speak to those coworkers. Give us the courage to say those things to the people that we go to school with. Help us to have a spirit of love. Strengthen us, God. Strengthen us to be the real deal. Strengthen us to be true followers and believers and disciples of you. And Father, I do also want to ask, please give us a hunger and thirst for your word. Give us a hunger and thirst for what is the living water, that we would desire you more than anything else, that we would come to a firm understanding that we need you regardless of how high up we get on this religious totem pole. Help us to understand that we are nothing without you, truly nothing. But thankfully, through this, your son, Jesus, through the power of your Holy Spirit, we can be sons and daughters in your eyes, that you look forward to hearing from us, regardless of our mistakes, regardless of our error, our wrong, and our sin. Please, God, empower us. Father, if there's anybody in here who needs prayer tonight, if there's anybody in here who knows that they need to get their lives right with you, they need to accept and confess that Jesus is their Lord and Savior, that they need to receive the Holy Spirit, put strength in their legs, put strength in their mouth, put strength in who they are, so that they would come up and then they would pray, that they would get the prayer that they need. Give them the boldness and the strength. If they're online, God, I pray that they would have this time with you, that you would guide them through. All that they need to do is just say a simple prayer, that they would believe in Jesus Christ as their Lord, their Savior, that he died and in 3 days rose from the grave, he ascended into heaven, one day comes again, and then they would ask for the Holy Spirit to come and to live inside of them. Lord, do that now. And we thank you, God, for what you're doing in our lives. We love you, God. We love you, we love you, we love you, and praise you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. We love you guys, we'll see you soon.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King. Here is our